Right, if you've got a Bible with you, turn it to Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read all this from the Passion Translation because it reads so well. I love the way Dr. Simmons and his team have translated Romans. I don't care what anybody says. I love reading Romans, studying through Romans. With this as a companion to my regular translations, has really blessed me in terms of understanding the heart and the spirit of what Paul was endeavoring to get across in Romans, the revelation of the new creation, the revelation of who we are in Christ, and the gift of salvation through grace by faith. Just beautiful. But we're in Romans chapter 6. Be great to read all of Romans, and then you'd understand the full context of Romans chapter 6, but no way do we have time for that. Father, we thank you as we approach your word this morning. Lord, let your word open up. Let the Holy Ghost just birth revelation in us. Let us see things more clearly. Let your word take root in our hearts as it is mixed with faith and therefore able to transform and save our souls. So, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that we have what the scriptures say we have. And we are who the scriptures say we are, as new creations in Christ. And we are what the scriptures say we are when we're outside of Christ. And so, Father, we thank you for your great kindness to us. We just bless the offering today and just release that to you as a dedication of our hearts and our gratitude. But as we come to your word today, let it impact us deeply. So Romans chapter 6, verse 1, Paul is addressing a error that had been started to be spoken by some people in the world at that time, especially around the church at that time, coming out of Greek philosophy and so on and so forth. And it was the idea that somehow, it was a strange twisted idea, but it's still around even today, that somehow God's grace is so beautiful and so amazing that we give God glory when we sin, because that way it shows the quality of his mercy even more and give God even more glory, okay? It's a twisted idea, but it was an idea that was put forth, and some people were saying this is what Paul is saying. So Paul refutes it, he stands against it, he refutes it, he points out that it's a terrible twist or misunderstanding, and then in chapter 6, he's continuing on some things relating to that. Romans chapter 6 verse 1. So what do we do then? Do we persist in sin so that God's kindness and grace will increase? That's what has been going around, and this is what he's pushing back on. What a terrible thought. What a terrible thought. To think that the idea is we persist in sin, so therefore God's grace is made even the more glorious. He's saying, what a terrible thought. We have died to sin once and for all. As a dead man passes away from this life, so how could we live under sin's rule a moment longer? Or have you forgotten that all of us who were immersed or baptized into union with Jesus, the Anointed One, were immersed into union with his death. Verse 4, sharing in his death by our baptism means that we were co-buried and entombed with him. And this is what the baptisms are about today. This is the picture that these baptisms are presenting, and this is the understanding that would be great for us to grab a hold of if you haven't already. And for those who are being baptized, from today onwards, your identity is going to change, and when heaven looks at you, heaven doesn't look at an old creation under the rule of darkness as a lost sinner. Heaven will be viewing you as somebody who's been joined to Christ, joined in his death, joined in his resurrection, and joined in his ascension. And so this whole co-language, co-crucified, co-buried, co-resurrected, is very important when it comes to the understanding of what actually happened in our baptism, or what our baptism speaks of. It's incredibly important. You're not getting baptized today because Jesus got baptized and set you an example. That's not why you're getting baptized. You're getting baptized today because you're identifying with the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was good for you, was meant for you. And all the benefits of his crucifixion, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension are all made available to you. And when you identify with him in baptism, you identify with all those aspects, and all of those provisions are now coming toward you because his power toward you was incomparably great because you believe. Verse 4, sharing in his death by baptism means that we were co-buried and entombed with him. So that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. We have been co-resurrected with him so that we would be empowered to walk in the freshness of new life. We are saved by his death, but we live by the power of the resurrection. We are saved through the power of the cross. We are saved by the power of his sacrifice. We are saved by the power of his atoning blood. We're saved by the fact that he took our place in sin's reward. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So Jesus took our place in receiving sin's reward on our behalf. That's a clear way of putting it, isn't it? He paid our sin payment. And so as a result of that, we are saved by his death, but we live empowered by the same Spirit that raised him from the dead. So we go into, we identify with his death and his burial, but what enables us to live and to overcome and to be a representative of Christ in the earth and overcome sin and darkness is the very power that raised Jesus from the dead. So when we're co-crucified with him and co-buried with him, we're also spiritually co-resurrected with him, not only a resurrected identity, but a resurrected position to receive his power and to receive his grace. So the very power that raised Jesus from the dead is actually arrayed toward you. All of heaven delights when people get a hold of the magnificence of Jesus' work and then understands that the provisions of heaven, all the spiritual blessings we're blessed with in heavenly realm, are actually toward us because we believe. Heaven delights in that because heaven then is satisfied that the death of Jesus Christ is not wasted for any particular individual. It's not reduced to religiosity. It's not reduced to ceremony. It's not reduced to just a lifestyle pattern. No, the people appreciate what he's done, appreciate the power that's toward them because they believe, and they live through the power of the resurrection. They're living a resurrected life, not an old sin-sick life. So today, those of you who are being baptized and those of you who've been baptized, think back to the day you were baptized because that became the demarcation point for your life. This co-language is so incredibly important. The co-crucified, the co-buried, the co-resurrected. It's just such important language. Being co-heirs with him. You see, all of those co-crucified, co-buried, co-resurrected, all connect us to the fact that we're now co-heirs. Co-heirs with Christ. Jesus is not over there on the throne in that sense, and we're just over here getting the crumbs that might fall from the table. We're now united with him. We are one with him. And so everything that he is, and everything that he's done, and everything that he's provided, is actually toward us. It's phenomenal. It's the gospel. It's what the gospel is all about. So since we are, verse 5, for since we are permanently grafted into him, to experience a death like his, then we are permanently grafted into him to experience a resurrection like his and the new life that it imparts. You and I have got power that's coming toward us that puts us at such an incredible advantage compared to what the world tries to have access to. The world is trying to improve itself through hard work, through effort, through mental training, through hard discipline, through whatever it is. It's trying to improve itself. It's trying to overcome. It's trying to get itself healed and delivered and psychologically healthy and all those sort of things. It's putting in so much effort. But you and I have power from heaven that's toward us. Christianity is not a lifestyle improvement program where you and I have to put in all the work just by listening to the tapes. Hear what I mean? Some of you have bought sets of tapes like that, CDs, downloads, and it's all an attempt to try and improve your life. Now, do we put principles into practice? Yes, we do, because every kingdom has principles. Every kingdom has ways of operating. But here's the deal. The world system and people outside of Christ do not have the power that resurrected Jesus from the dead, coming toward them and also living in them, enabling them to overcome and live a life that is new. Verse 6, could it be any clearer that our former identity is now and forever deprived of its power? For we were co-crucified with him to dismantle the stronghold of sin within us, so that we would not continue to live one moment longer submitted to sin's power. Obviously, a dead person is incapable of sinning. And if we were co-crucified with the Anointed One, we know that we'll also share in the fullness of his life. And we know that since the Anointed One has been raised from the dead to die no more, his resurrection life has vanquished death and its power over him is finished. For by his sacrifice he died to sin's power once and for all. But the life he now lives continuously... But he now lives continuously for the Father's pleasure. So let it be the same way for you, for me, for us. Since we're now joined with him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsible to sin's appeal, while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Christ, the Anointed One. Verse 12, sin is a dethroned monarch. So you must no longer give it an opportunity to rule over your life, controlling how you live and compelling you to obey its desires and cravings. So then, refuse to answer its call to surrender your body as tools of wickedness. Refuse to answer sin's call. Oh, look, it's an incoming call. Just want to do something. Oh, look, it's an incoming call. Oh, look, it's sin. I'm not going to answer that one. I'll just delete that one. Oh, look, there's another call. It's heaven's call. I'll answer that one. Hello. Your servant heareth. Oh, sorry. No, it was actually Janet. Sorry about that. There we are. Yes, my service is conditional. Dan Irvine calling. There we are. I won't answer that one. Well done, Dan. Good on you, buddy. But when you put it as simple as that, so that's what temptation is. That's what seduction to do something that would be sinful or damaging to yourself or to people or defiling your conscience is. It's a call from darkness. Because darkness, now that you're in Christ, darkness is not your ruler. It has to consult you for your willingness. I'm going to say that again because I thought that was really good. Sin is no longer our ruler. Sin is a dethroned master. The realm of darkness is no longer has ownership of your life. You died to that regime. You died to that order of things. It's called the old creation. You've died to that order. You identified with Jesus' death, his burial, his crucifixion, his resurrection. So when an incoming call comes from that realm, it's not coming in as your master, it's coming in as your tempter. It's coming in as your suggester. It wants to hook into appetites. It wants to hook into some things that might be hungers in the soul. It might be trying to hook into old patterns, old habits. It might be trying to hook into things that somebody somewhere on the TV or the magazine suggested could be a fun thing to do. But nevertheless, it's not coming in as a master because that master is dethroned. Jesus is now our master. It's coming in as a suggester. It's coming in as a tempter. So simply, we don't answer the call. We're not obligated to answer the call. We're not obligated to yield ourselves as our bodies as instruments of unrighteousness. There's no obligation. It doesn't rule over us. It doesn't have command over us. It doesn't have ownership of us. It doesn't have any dimension of authority in our life whatsoever. Jesus does, because we died to that old regime. We were co-crucified with him, co-buried with him, co-raised with him, and we're co-ascended with him, and now we're co-heirs with him. And Jesus is the heir of all things. He's the rightful possessor and owner of all things, and you are a co-heir with him. Why? My goodness, I don't know if my brain has got any halfway around that yet. It doesn't mean we're arrogant. It doesn't mean we flog people's property. It doesn't mean any of that sort of thing. It means we're co-heirs of all of the dimensions of the kingdom that he has and is. So here's Paul's encouragement to us. So it's verse 11, back to verse 11. So let it be the same way with you, or with us, I'm going to say us. Since you are now joined with him, that's Jesus, you must continue to increase in the understanding to view yourself differently than you used to view yourself. View yourself as dead to sin's appeal. Does it mean that an appetite may feel it? Does it mean that an old thought or an old pattern may try and reassert itself? It may mean that. It may mean also that the Holy Spirit will actually show you something that is now something to be in your past, not in your present. He may also show you something that happened between you and somebody else some time ago, that now it's time to go and attempt to set it right. Apologize, ask for forgiveness, or release forgiveness, whatever the case may be. So all of those things are totally and absolutely relevant, but we don't have to answer temptation's phone calls. We don't have to answer the requests. You're not under any obligation anymore. You've been released. You never go to Ruru Lawn Cemetery and see a recently buried person standing, an officer standing by the grave of a recently buried person with a summons to court because of something they did in that old life. Have you ever noticed any policemen or papers standing around a grave? No, of course it's not. It's a stupid idea. It's the whole point. Because the guy's dead. And he'd been freed from the law. Freed from that law that wanted to convict him and put him in prison or make him pay a fine or whatever the case may be. In the spirit, we're dead to that old creation, that old order. But some people are still living under the fear and under the sense that somehow they're still owned by those old structures, by those old claims, by that old regime, by that old thing that lorded over them and mastered over them. I tell you, if you've genuinely come to Christ, you've been baptized into Christ, you were baptized into his crucifixion, you were baptized into his death, you were baptized into that tomb, as it were, you were baptized into his resurrection, you've been baptized into his ascension, and you're now a co-heir with him. So tell that old regime where it can go. Tell that old regime that it doesn't own you anymore. It doesn't control you anymore. It doesn't have legal claim to you anymore. Because you're dead. You died with Christ. We're to consider ourselves dead to sin's invitations. Let's all stand. Just declare with me right now, and this is relevant to everybody who's been baptized into Christ, but you can also say it for yourself if you're going to be baptized today. Father, I thank you that through my baptism, I identified with Jesus' death, with his crucifixion, with his burial, with his resurrection, with his ascension, and now I'm a co-heir with Christ. I thank you that old regime called sin and death is no longer my master. It is a dethroned monarch. Jesus is now my king. That old order, that old creation, died in those waters. And I came up a new creation, positioned in Christ with the power of heaven, the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of a spiritual blessing arrayed toward me. So I thank you, Lord, from today onwards, I don't have to be responsive to those old calls from that old dominion. I am responsible and responsive to the call of the Holy Ghost, to the call of the Word of God, to the call of the love of the Father. That's who I'm responsive to. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everybody. We're going to go out and baptize these beautiful people.